Hi, lovies. This is Christina with Karma's Eye Psychic LLC / Mystical Charms here on Universal Spirit Podcast, and we are on our last episode of Season 10, Working with Deities. So now we are moving into European, Greek mythology, god, goddesses, deities, and entities. Okay, like I've said before in previous episodes, do not work with spirits unless they come to you first. Okay. So I'm going to start off with one of the most known goddesses, and that would be Hecate or Hecate or however you would like to pronounce that. She didn't come to me till about maybe 2022 mainly. I started having dreams. I started having visions. I was not looking her up. I was going through a interesting time in 2022. I did have a stalker at the time, and I didn't know what to do, and I was kind of like, you know, get extra protection, and I just kept having these dreams about, you know, this woman who had fire and energy, and had, you know, two other heads or entities attached to her, and I was just like, what is that? Okay, like, I was aware of things, but I wanted to know what it meant for me. And it turns out that she was trying to reach out to me. And at the time, to be honest with you, I was watching an unhealthy amount of Law and Order. Okay. But I figured out why. Because when you watch Law and Order, it doesn't matter which, you know, but specifically SVU, the character, what's her name? Naomi Benson. Is that how I'm saying it correctly? The main character, the main leader, is a representation of what Hecate energy is like. One, looking after and taking care of children. Two, being that feminine and masculine energy, mostly in a feminine appearance, right? Given the appearance of being feminine to, in a way, manipulate energies or predators around, to make them believe that you are not, you know, strong or whichever, and then obviously you will fuck around and find out, because Hecate is nothing to play with, okay? So that's when she came to me. Like I said, I was watching an unhealthy amount of Law and Order, and it was like a sign or a symbol of saying that that person, you know, that, you know, Benson person lives inside of you, and she helped me get the courage to research, you know, get back up and actually live life and literally just have the passion again to right wrongs. So if you are looking to be in the legal field, Hecate definitely is somebody you would want to work with. How I work with Hecate specifically, because I do have a collection dedicated to her in my shop. So that's how I honor her. I honor her with a lot of things that are purple and black. Though she has many colors, purple and black work best with me because it's like a very feminine / aggressive energy, also representing royalty, and also darkness, because she can both dip her feet in the dark and the light, considering that's why she has three heads. It's like one is in the light, one is in the darkness, and one is in between. So you're not gonna get many, or if anything, you know, details past Hecate. Okay, so like I said, what I like to do is dedicate things that are purple, or just make an herb jar. I do have an herb jar dedicated to Hecate on my altar, and that's how I honor her. And like I said, relationship with her, it can be transactional. She doesn't mind if it's transactional, right? It's more of like, you know, honor her in your own time, right? She understands the concept of time, on the different realms. So I would not say to go a year without, you know, thanking her, but I definitely would, you know, not stress too much on how long it takes. Even a thought of just saying thank you, that's really good enough if that's what you're able to do. I would highly recommend. Moving on to a not so other feminine energy is, in Greek mythology, the creature of Medusa, who was obviously a victim of Essay, who was extremely beautiful, and then after, you know, her essay, she was then turned into a Gorgon by Diana, and she was, you know, essayed by Poseidon, because he was so, you know, engrossed with her beauty, and I guess he had had every other creature, and she just didn't want him, and she embodied the feminine and masculine, right? Definitely a transformation happening there. I do have a collection dedicated to Medusa. Also, next year, 2025, will be the year of the snake. I do have all my Medusa stuff ready, lined up to go, for purchase and themes and all that. When Medusa came to me, obviously, I was very young. I was in high school because I was very good at Greek mythology, but I did ignore the signs. I didn't really take on the energy till about 2021, okay, in my later years, where I realized that the transformation from the extreme feminine to the extreme masculine, still in the same physical body, what a wonderful transformation that occurred through something that was very, very brutal. Because we don't want to talk, a lot of people don't want to talk about SA, and, like, you know, it's like she was never the same after the fact. And she wasn't even cursed by Poseidon. She was actually cursed by Diana, because she was so jealous of the fact that he wanted her so bad. But if you look at it in retrospect, like, he had her and then didn't want her anymore. So she has the feelings of being transformed against her will, and also being tossed aside after her beauty had been, you know, had been defiled in some type of way. She never got that beauty back in particular. And also, she used her transformation to her advantage. She used the fact that now that I am this cursed, you know, creature, I can now, you know, take power over my life again, which she did. Now that anyone who would look upon her would die. And at first, it was a very, you know, heart-wrenching thing. But then after a while, it became her superpower. And now it's like she didn't want to be known as anything other. Because it would almost seem that her beauty was somehow a weakness, right? It was as if, like, if she hadn't been beautiful, she wouldn't have been attacked. But now that she's this hideous monster, now she can't be attacked. So it's definitely a transformation from turning a, you know, a curse into a blessing. So next, I'm going to lump these two together. So Persephone and Hades. Obviously, we know the story between them was not the greatest, right? She gets taken down to the underworld. She was kidnapped, and it's like every, you know, spring, I'm sorry, not spring, every fall, the daffodils come out to, you know, return her back to the underworld when it turns wintertime. That's like the sign of her going back to the underworld. But during the rest of the year, she's out and she's free. She's the daughter of Demeter. And the god Hades, we all know as the god of the underworld, the god of all things that float to the bottom, right? It's almost as if he is the lord of, like, the scum of the scum. But not necessarily because he is the scum, it's just because he has to watch over. He has to gatekeep and keep the scum at a low level, low frequency. So it's really a job more than anything. However, his adaptability to be able to live in such darkness, but at the same time still understand the land dwellers or the light dwellers or the people who dwell above the ground or above, you know, in the mid-heaven, so to speak, where we are on this earthly plane. And the reason why I'm lumping these two together, because both of them have to do with, you know, sacrifice, time, patience, and the natural distortion of, you know, morals. Because you can once be a great person, but yet you can dwindle in your morals, no matter how revered you are, no matter how popular you are, and no matter how, you know, beautiful you are or once were. When it comes to Persephone, I do have a collection dedicated to her, with pomegranates and daffodils. Okay, daffodil scented things, you know, yellow and purple, pomegranate candles, pomegranate scented sprays and stuff like that, because it gives you a sense of her being near you, okay? Especially when you're going through a time where things have to change, when you have to acknowledge the changing of season and understand the flow of nature and how things have to be or things that need to be. It is like the you know, the bittersweetness of life, that you cannot have it the same way all the time. Also, when it comes to Hades as well, that is a prerequisite of life after, right? Life after death. But understand that there is actually life after death. It's not always at a lower frequency, right? And if you are to be at a lower frequency, it's not necessarily a bad thing. It's how do you adapt to that lower frequency? Because in mythology, like, Hades has a personality that just does not change. He has an unchangeable way of being, which is the opposite of Persephone, who then, you know, flows through the changes of nature. She's not always with Hades, okay? She's allowed to roam free until the winter time, okay? And this comes with a great lesson of sacrifice as well, that not all sacrifices are terrible, and that some sacrifices are necessary. Okay, so I do, you know, honor both of them, you know, Persephone with the pomegranates and the daffodils. I also honor Hades with things that are blue and black, okay, things that represent ice, okay, coldness, and just practicality, okay. So I have a collection dedicated to him as well. And that's how I honor those particular deities. Relationship-wise, yes, they like to have relationship with you. Okay, at the same time, though, I would not suggest you put Hades on the back burner. Don't summon Hades if you're not going to thank him first, have him do whatever you need, and then thank him again. So you kind of like got to sandwich that relationship. It's not necessarily out of fear, but it's just out of respect. It's, you know, he digs up things for you to have opportunities that would not be, you know, available to most people. He creates these very bizarre miracles, so to speak. Okay, so that's something to be grateful for. So thank him, let him get it done, thank him again. Moving on to Cupid. Okay, Cupid is also in a lot of Roman / Greek mythology as being the god, or if not the prince, or the duke of love. Okay, and that is bringing people together, courtship, partnership, friendship, just always understanding that people only come together in their authentic selves when it is done with love. He is the representation of authentic love. And it does not have to always be romantic, okay? Even though he is the symbol of romantic love, but he's also the symbol of love spells, and that at some point it wears off. Because if we don't know this more than anything on this planet, that love is fleeting. He is the prince, you know, deity of fleeting love. But he is the god of love, of giving the opportunity of love. So he gives everyone a chance to be involved with people that they are interested in. However, he is better at matching people who are best for each other. Okay, you can love anyone you want, but Cupid is really all about putting the people who are better and best match to be together the longest. Not every love lasts forever, but Cupid is the one that you want to really like pull wherever your person is, or whoever the best person is for you, to get them involved and have you guys cross paths at some point. Okay, and how I honor Cupid, obviously I put like little, you know, pink hearts. It could be candy hearts, you know, anything that has to do with Valentine's Day, really. You know, little cherubs and stuff like that. And things that smell rosy, right? Roses and hearts are his thing. Especially like those perfumes that, you know, are just so engulfed in just like love and romance. Okay, those are his favorites. If you can get perfume, definitely do that. And at the same time, Cupid came to me in a dream in high school. Definitely ignored it because he wasn't the cute little baby that everybody pictures. He's actually like a fawn looking man. So it was not as pretty as he is depicted in pictures, but I definitely felt that that was the authentic Cupid. And at the time, I was just so confused about what love really is. And of course, you're not going to find what's real in high school. But that is something that I channeled at that time, and that was my answer. And I did not get involved in anybody in my high school, or even in those high school years. It wasn't until later I married my now ex-husband. But however, Still grateful for the opportunity. Next, we're going to talk about St. Jude. Now, you guys have all heard of St. Jude, you know, the Children's Hospital for Kids with Cancer. And he is depicted as, you know, a bearded man wearing a, was it green and yellow robe, holding a heart, like a burning heart. And he is the patron saint of lost causes, like things that are nearly despaired of, things that you feel like are just never going to work out, or just things that are never going to come back. And I came across St. Jude, I would say back in 2000, it had to be 2013, no, 14, okay? And I was having some issues with things that I felt like were bigger than me, things that were going to consume me, things that I felt like people like me don't get involved in, they don't win these types of things, going through a really terrible custody battle, but I could see my worth. And I was needing other people to see it as well. He definitely helps get the word out. If there is something good being hidden, and this cause is moving forward without people knowing, he brings it to light. So the cause can then be rectified in any way, by any means. Okay. Now, relationship with St. Jude, it can be transactional, but I don't recommend that. I would say if you're going to be transactional, make sure the gratitude that you show is tremendous, okay? Like, it said that you need to post your gratitude in the newspaper, and in essence, the newspaper is not used anymore. You would do it, like, on social media, or you would have a piece of paper or even a poster in your home thanking St. Jude for helping you with the thing that he helped you with. So you can be transactional, but if you're going to be, please be extremely grateful at the same time. And yes, he will come through for you if you really, really have something to offer to the situation that it's meant for you. Okay, if it's meant to work out, trust and believe he'll work it out, because he definitely worked it out for me, and I still have it posted on my Facebook page. All right. I honor him with gratitude, and yellow candles is my way of keeping a reminder of that one time or three times or four times that he helped me. It's a yellow candle that I don't burn. I keep it in the middle of my house to incorporate him with my feng shui. So now we're going to talk about Krampus. Krampus is the infamous, you know, anti-Santa Claus. During the Yule season, or, you know, the Christian Christmas season, where Santa comes around and he blesses all the good kids with gifts and love and attention and all this stuff. But Krampus, however, you know, because Santa is a man, Krampus, however, is supposedly a monster or a demon or just this creature that has glowing eyes that resembles like a fawn and a deer or some type of goat that lives in the cold woods. And he is supposed to come in and punish children. But not only just punish, he is supposed to kidnap bad children. So he has a little bit more, I resonate more with his purpose. And of course, as above, so below, never forget, right? Because we talked about that with Baphomet in like episode 3 or something, right? And being the anti-Santa, these are kids who are deliberately bad. Not children that, you know what to do and they, you know, are just having a hard time breaking a habit. These are children who know what to do, and they are just deliberately just not doing the right thing. They are supposedly born to be bad, okay? And technically, it throws off the energy, or at least the balance of things, especially around this time, where, obviously, karma is being served, because you're moving into Capricorn season around Yule and Christmas time. And Capricorn and Saturn is the ruler of karma. So before Santa bestows gifts upon the good kids, right, Krampus comes around to bestow the punishment on the deliberately bad kids, okay? They either get all their stuff taken away, they are, you know, usually kidnapped and taken to an island. You know, if you ever watch Pinocchio and Pleasure Island, it's something like that, and they all get turned into donkeys because apparently they deserved it, okay? So Krampus is more of a folklore Norse legend, so to speak. The reason why I work with this energy is because of the fact that there are some bad seeds out there of people who just deliberately cause harm. And it's like taking them in their childhood is to prevent them from causing more harm as they get older. Especially when you're older and you have access to more things and more knowledge. Right? So Krampus is not necessarily a bad guy. He's just very scary because his job is to punish, right? That is his job. So he has to be fierce and, you know, gruesome and, you know, punisher looking, okay? So he would represent a devil type where it's kind of like he'd be like the devil and then Santa Claus would be like a Jesus type, right? So the reason why also, and Krampus came to me, I would say in about 2021, okay, because like it wasn't exactly like Christmas season just yet, but the energy started to resonate with me when it came to like some people just want to be bad. Some kids are just freaking terrible. And sometimes it does has nothing to do with the parents. You could be the best parent in the world and you, like I said, just got that one bad seed that's just like, I'm born to be bad and that's it. Well, and I guess you're born to be punished and that's it. Okay, and this is a time where I started to really balance out my ideals, even about parenting and how I see children and my relationship with children, not just my own, but my relationship with all children worldwide, right? Globally, just on a bigger collective, okay? And, you know, and never idolize, you know, a person even in their childhood, right? Because Krampus energy definitely takes away the idolization of the physical child. So understanding very well that you get what you deserve sooner or later. But Krampus, I believe, serves a really good purpose when to take out that energy at an early stage. And not at an innocent stage, but really at a stage of accountability when you know what you're doing is wrong. So I advise everyone out there to just really, like, be aware. Krampus, that energy is real because he dishes out the karma. And usually if you have bad karma, it usually started from something you've done deliberately as a child. So if Krampus doesn't get you in your childhood, he'll get you eventually. That's really pretty much the lore. And I do have a collection dedicated to Krampus on my website. And that's how I honor the lore, folklore figure. Next, we will be talking about the infamous Baba Yaga. Now, believe it or not, I have been following lots of, you know, Slavic magicians and practitioners for, you know, a good amount of time. And of course, I've come across the spirit of Baba Yaga or the energy of Baba Yaga. But she did not come to me until 2023, which was just last year. Ironically enough, and to be honest, she came at a good time, right? She came at a great time where I had just received my father's ashes. I was just about ready to make the commitment to quit my old job. And this was around June time. I had the seed had been planted. It's like, it's just time for me to go. You know, I didn't leave until about December time, but you know, May, June-ish is when I started planting the seed to, you know, start my plans to leave. And right when I did that, I started getting these overwhelming senses of, you know, like an older, you know, witch, you know, or, you know, entity coming around to not only reassure me, but also it was really to invoke a lot of wisdom and courage. Okay, like I said before, I had worked with, you know, Santa Morta before this, but Baba Yaga showed up where, like, in my dreams constantly, okay? And I just like, why is she reaching out to me? Why is she reaching out to me? So it turned out that summer in particular, you know, my grandmother had fallen very ill, Right around the same time, it was like a sandwich amount of time where between I got my father's ashes, I started seeing Baba Yaga, and then my grandmother got very ill. Okay, so it was almost like she was becoming this substitute, motherly figure for me. This substitute motherly figure where, like, you know, she is considered to be the old hag witch. Okay, and supposedly if you invade her space, she'll eat you, especially if you're a child, especially if you're a bad child. She does not play around. She is very wise. She is very courageous. However, she also bestows upon you many blessings, okay? But she definitely guides you to tread softly and tread carefully and respectfully in other people's territories. And that is not limited to other people's magical religious and cultural practices, not to wander too deep into the woods if you're not ready to find what you're gonna find. Have no expectations and understand that you don't really have the right to judge, and just have no expectations when you're treading into somebody else's world. Because Baba Yaga is the old hag that lives in the woods. Like, she's the staple of the witch that lives in the forest, right? The one you go to when you need help, you know, the one that nobody knows you're going to get help with other things or get blessings and charms and all these different things. Or when things disappear, she's the one that has it. You know, she's technically the original character of Stephen King's Needful Things, right? It's kind of like all the stuff that she has, she's accumulated over time with the gifts that people have given her for the favors that she is asked of, right? But at the same time, though, you're not just going to waltz up to her, right? You're not just going to invade her space, you know, be respectful, and of course, bring a gift, okay? I do have a collection dedicated to her on my website, so that's how I honor her. But she likes to have, you know, simple things, but nice things, okay? So if you have like a coin from a foreign land, she likes stuff like that. She likes really nice twigs, okay? Things that represent the forest and like things that are scented like the forest. I do have an incense collection, which is called Seance in the Woods. And, you know, the Seance in the Woods is actually all together, like what it would smell like if you were to approach an old hag in the woods. You got the smell of dirt, you got spring water, you know, you got the whole shebang, right? Because you got to understand, too, like, just like Rumpelstiltskin, like, she's got a life that you could possibly be invading on. So definitely when you're invoking Baba Yaga, give yourself some time. And also when it comes to relationship with Baba Yaga, she's very loving, right? But at the same time, she will urge you not to be stupid, right? But at the same time, too, she also urges you to constantly, continually work on yourself and continuously to work on your magic, right? Like, working on your magic is like one of the top keynotes, you know, to the relationship that you're going to have with Baba Yaga. You're not going to just complain about something like, oh, things are not going well. Have you tried this? And have you tried that? Have you tried this? Have you tried that? Okay, look at it from this point of view. Are we in a really bad astrological, you know, time for you? Or, you know, is the Gemini season compatible with you? You know, stuff like that. Like, it's just looking, it's constantly looking. Because when you're in the woods, you're in a secret place and you have time to meditate and time to think. So it is one of those things where you got to really hone in on your magical juices and strengths and, you know, really put the work in mentally and then get ready physically. Lastly, on her appearance, she does not appear to be a very attractive woman. She is appear to be a very ugly woman, and that is to keep away people who are not true of heart, people who are shallow and are looking for something that is superficial from her. She is not into the superficial. She can help you gain things to, you know, like, you know, obtain superficial things, but she in general is not about superficiality. You know, sit down, have relationships, drink tea, be with her, okay? But it can't be always take, you know. She'll help you, okay? But at the same time, she has a wrath as well. When you come in too much to take, like, the door will be closed at some point, okay? The door will close, and that's not a door you want to close on you, okay? Because forest spirits
there's definitely something she can help you with, like fairies and the fae and all those things. She has knowledge of all those things to help you navigate those things and keep any of those types of fairy energies that are negative to you out of your way. Okay, so you might want to think twice before you become transactional. And last but not least, we're going to talk about my man, Saint Expedite. Saint Expedite is very popular in a lot of voodoo and hoodoo and Catholic magic traditions. Okay, and I saved him for last specifically. And of course, I have a whole collection dedicated to Saint Expedite. Okay, I have a page on my website. I have like the whole ritual. I have a whole class dedicated to him. That's my man, 100 grand. Okay, and I will always say that because it's very important to know that whenever he helps you, you must thank him, if not immediately. Okay, so Saint Expedite is the patron saint of quick help. Okay, if you haven't heard of him, like I say, he's very popular in hoodoo, voodoo, and Catholic magic traditions. And he is an Italian soldier that you can't really find historically. There isn't any really real, like, hardcore record of him, okay? But being a warrior or, you know, a soldier, he has been, throughout centuries, looked to whenever you are in a situation where you need money, mostly money. It could be anything, really, but mostly money, okay? And you need it now, okay? Like, if J.G. Wentworth was a saint, it's Saint Expedite, and you need cash now, okay? And he has a whole ritual dedicated that you need to follow through correctly. So his ritual is red candle, right, wine or water, and a picture of him. All right, and for 7 days, he has a whole specific prayer. You must say that prayer exactly the same every single day, okay? And when you are asking him what you need to break it down to every dollar to the point where, like, you have to even include fees you have to pay and everything that's included, travel, all that. Be very specific with him, okay? Because he's going to execute this plan better than anyone else. So be very specific. Okay, also be specific what day you need it by. And when it comes to the day, make sure that you put the year. Don't say, I need it by Friday. It better be Friday, November something something, this year, okay? Or you'll get it on a Friday 7 years from now, okay? He is the ultimate saint. Like, he's the blockbuster saint. He doesn't open doors like with keys. He blows shit up with dynamite, okay? And then once you receive what you get. To honor him, you must give him pound cake, okay? Mostly people say he likes Sara Lee pound cake. I use the regular Walmart pound cake, okay? The buttery kind, that's what works for me when I'm honoring him. He loves red roses. Okay? So you must honor him with red roses, and he loves nickels, okay? So if you happen to have 5 silver nickels, you might want to give that to him once he has executed his plans. And, you know, you would want to give him some more wine, okay? And try to keep that wine filled up throughout the entire ritual, okay? But red wine, that's his thing. Give him that red wine, okay? A lot of people who have relationships with Saint Expedite, whether you are a man or a woman, find it more as a friendship. And if you are, you know, physically attracted to warriors, he can also embody a sexual relationship with you if that's what you are feeling, right? Because sometimes people get really emotionally invested, like, oh my God, you've helped me so many times. Like, the offerings will come from your heart, and it needs to come from your heart. But never forget the basic things, the pound cake, the flowers, the wine, and the nickels. Okay, definitely give him that red candle, because that's what speed is all about, red and passion. Because in his picture, that's what he's wearing a red cape. Okay, it's a very, very important staple into worshiping him. Okay, or not worshiping, I'm sorry, honoring him. I said the wrong word. And I have a red cloth that I put down specifically for him. So it's good for him to have his own stuff. He likes to have his own stuff. He likes to have his own altar. But if you don't have an own, you know, his, a separate altar for him. Definitely give him his own space on your altar. Do your best to do that, because he does not like to be, you know, so close to everybody else, because he does a very specific job. So it's very important. Okay. And yes, Saint Expedite came to me, I would say, around 2018-ish. Okay. And I just happened to be dating an Italian man at the time. Okay. And I just started getting these, you know, pop-ups on YouTube and all these other places about Saint Expedite. Never heard of them. And to me, it was just kind of like, okay, maybe I'll give it a try. But then when you hear the backstory about him being a warrior, and like I said, not much on him, except for what you're going to read about his magical properties, but still, sit with the energy, and you can get a good idea of how it resonates with you, and the story will just come to you. He will speak to you, okay? You can speak to him. That's why being transactional with him is definitely fine. He is totally okay. Like, definitely, if you have a one-night stand personality, okay, he is perfect for you. That's why Saint Expedite is perfect for me. Okay, thank you for doing what you had to do. Here are your gifts, right? Because that's what he wants. He wants the pound cake. He wants the wine. He wants the nickels. Like, that's what it's, you know, that's what it's about. And if you're able to provide those things, sure, baby, I'll do anything you want for me, you know, for you. I'll do anything you want. But at the same time, if you want to develop a closer relationship with Saint Expedite, you would not have to burn candles all the time, you know, just, you know, keeping him in mind, keeping him close, you know, honoring him with, you know, clothing or whichever. I'm actually coming out with a new collection of Saint Expedite this Friday, okay? So that's going to be amazing, okay? Because I will always find ways to honor Saint Expedite any way I can, because the energy resonates with me so much. And the weird thing is, he's the only energy that I resonate with that goes well with using red, because when I use red candles for any reason, it tends to backfire because of the, you know, I have a lot of fire in my chart, and adding red to any of my rituals will cause me to have some anger issues. Okay, it is something that I just know about myself. So please know yourself before you get involved with Saint Expedite. Do not half-ass it. Do not stop the ritual halfway through. Okay, that's a no-no. Okay, because if you do that, you'll definitely won't thank him. And if he doesn't come through, still thank him anyway. Okay, because it's very important that you publicly thank him. People need to know that he helped you. And that's going to leave the door open for him to help you again and again and again. There's no limit to what he does. Okay, but like I said, be very specific. All right, my lovey, so this is it. This is the last hurrah for the series of working with deities. I really hope that this helped. I really hope you learned something. If you have any questions or can, you know, anything to add to this, you know, give me your thoughts about this. You know, how do you work with these energies? When did these energies ever come to you? Or did these energies ever come to you? Is there an energy that you would like to work with that you haven't yet been involved in? They always come at the right time, you know, they always come at the right time. As you can tell throughout this whole series, I've had these energies come at me very scattered. Okay. And since they're very scattered, just, you gotta be patient. Understand that what's there for you will always be for you. Never go seeking something that is not looking for you. Very, very not a good idea. All right, so let's hear what you have to say. And tomorrow is Halloween. Happy Halloween, lovies, 2024. And I will see you again in the next series. All right, lovies, it was great. See ya.